Hello and welcome back to the Outside the Box podcast. I'm Leo and I'm joined by
Charlie,
Joe,
and Baltazar.
We're back after a long, refreshing and action-packed summer break containing everything from the Olympics to F1 and the start of the Premier League. We're going to be kicking off with the F1 news, and there has been quite a lot.
So let's start off with the transfers in F1.
Yeah, it was announced last week that one of the all-time greats announced his retirement, Kimi Raikkonen, the Iceman. He's been in F1 for over 20 years now, since 2001, racking up 341 starts, one world championship, 21 wins, 103 podiums and 1,865 career points. He's had a massive impact on the sport and it'll be very sad to see him go.
Yeah, looking at those stats, like, what a career, jeez.
20 years.
Yeah.
One of the longest of all time, I think. Jenson Button was around 17 years. So yeah, he's definitely had quite a big impact on the sport, driving from everyone from Ferrari to most recently Alfa Romeo. But this space did leave quite a move around in the driver's market with some very big transfers. I think we have to start with the biggest, you know, Bottas out of Mercedes.
Russell in.
Big news at the start of this week. Perhaps not surprising, I want to say, because...
kind of underperformed, kind of not, I reckon.
I don't think it's underperforming. I think he's had so many team orders.
He's had podiums, though.
He's had chances to have podiums, but he's just made Hamilton have to pass him. I feel bad for him because he can be... he's better than he is, but, you know, we'll see. But probably the bigger news is Russell and...
yeah,
he's excellent young driver.
How old is he?
22, I want to say. Amazing driver, but he's just been stuck at Williams for the past few years at the start of his career, and their car is just not as competitive. I mean, they've been the slowest car on the grid for all the last 3 years except this one, which is Haas this year. He's just incredible driver. He showed his talent when he stepped in that Mercedes for the first time, got pole position and nearly won the race, but unfortunately due to a mechanical error he wasn't able to get that position in.
Did he get points last season? I remember seeing like halfway through the season he was on near 0 points. Did he get points in the end?
I believe so, he did, but you know he shouldn't. There's no expectation to get points in that car.
I mean, this season he got a podium in Belgium.
Yeah, we'll move on to Belgium in a bit, but looking at the other movement, Williams driver, now Alex Albon has been brought in to replace Russell. I think F1 was shocked to see him leave a few years ago from the Red Bull seat, and shocked to see that he didn't get picked up by another, possibly lesser team, because he is a good driver. I just think he was promoted into the Red Bull a bit prematurely.
Early.
Yeah, he was not ready. But it's good to see him back in the F1 grid, and I think he can make a bit of an impact. Hopefully Williams get their car a bit stronger. Hopefully he can fight for some points and build his way back up.
Yeah. He just really needs to kind of like have a good season with a slightly smaller team to prove himself to the bigger ones. And then hopefully he can pick up the big contract he wants.
I think so, yeah.
So the four races over the summer, Silverstone, Belgium and Hungary. So Silverstone, very big race, and probably a famous incident, Hamilton Verstappen, you know, caused quite a bit of controversy. I don't know, what are your guys' thoughts on it?
Whose fault was it though?
Hamilton.
I'd say it's Hamilton's fault, because it's like he gave him enough space and Hamilton chose to take a better line rather than taking a line which he had space in.
Yeah, it was 100% Hamilton's fault. He said that he couldn't fit in. But they, after the race, they compared the overtake that Hamilton did on Verstappen to the one he did on Leclerc in the same corner. And they compared the lines of the two drivers, and Leclerc's and Verstappen's were very similar. Hamilton's was just a bit different. And I don't want to accuse him of purposely crashing into him. I think it was frustration almost that, you know, he's getting beaten this season consistently by a much younger driver. And I think it was just a frustrated overtake, which possibly wasn't the right one.
Probably the fact he went on to win the race as well.
which yeah. caused the most controversy.
Yeah, yeah, only receiving yeah. a 5-second penalty. Some people said it was too much, some people said it was too little, but...
And the fans I saw, they cheered when he crashed. I thought that was kind of disrespectful.
Yeah, that was a little bit disrespectful. Not sure why they did that, but yeah.
English fans were, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, it was also a dangerous crash, and there's something actually could have happened.
Yeah, it was a 125G crash. I think that was the second biggest of all time.
And yeah.
Thanks for the safety because of the Ayrton Senna crash that was implemented. He survived that because otherwise he wouldn't be walking away.
And he walked away fine in the end with a bit of a limp, but it must have shook him quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good race from... Aside from that, it was a good race from Leclerc. Getting good second place.
Yeah.
And great points for Mercedes as well, getting Bottas on the podium as well.
Yeah.
So that was a really good points weekend for Mercedes. And then just looking at the next weekend, I mean, Bottas takes one for the team and takes out both Red Bulls and the Mercedes contenders.
What a play.
Yeah. No, I don't think he did that on purpose. Great race from Ocon, holding on at the end to get his first win. That was very surprising, especially when I didn't catch the race, but you know, he did very well, especially in a car that is, you know, it's definitely a mid-team car.
Yeah.
And Seb, I mean, I feel bad for him because he got second place.
I got disqualified.
And he got disqualified.
Fuel. They didn't manage to take enough fuel.
He didn't have enough fuel in at the end.
Aww.
And one thing which I was actually was amazing from was Alonso, how he defended against Hamilton for so long.
Yeah.
He kept held him off for about 4 or 5 laps. And I mean, the Mercedes is a way faster car than the Alpine. And it should be an easy overtake, except Alonso held on very well there.
Yeah, Alonso showing his experience and maturity there. He has been in F1 for almost as long as Raikkonen. But yeah, he's showing his skill there.
Yeah.
Moving on to Belgium, Spa. Half points due to rain calling off after 2 laps. Bit of an interesting one.
Yeah.
Feel quite bad for the fans because the stands were absolutely packed. Unfortunately,
a bit of a rubbish race now.
Yeah, qualifying was rained. They still managed to do it, but it was full of rain.
So at least, I mean, they got some points on the board rather than kind of like just scrapping the whole race.
Yeah, I mean, it's better Hamilton getting a decent P3, Verstappen P1, and Russell P2 in the Williams. I think he was lucky that it was rained off because he definitely wouldn't have held off.
Yeah.
If it was dry weather, especially with Mr. Hamilton behind him.
Yeah.
And that Mercedes, which is a beast of a car.
I mean, to be fair, he managed to, because it's a rainy, like, conditions, it's a lot easier to kind of, like, it's purely your skill rather than the car, if you know what I'm saying?
I mean, there's raining conditions and then there's undrivable conditions, so it's less about skill in that sort of weather.
Right to call it a race, that was dangerous.
Yeah, they should definitely not have raced, but what they need to look at for the next year of coming round there is that Eau Rouge corner. It's an extremely fast corner, and it definitely needs to be looked at because Antoine Herbert died so recently.
Yeah.
And in the most recent like race weekend there was in the W Series, which is a women-only drivers' championship, similar to the standards of Formula 3, 6 cars in that corner, a huge pile-up, 2 sent to hospital, and Lando Norris crashed there as well. He was fine, but... It just shows that this corner is dangerous, but they need to, I think, look at maybe changing it somehow.
Yeah. I mean, F1 are already putting a lot of, like, safety precautions in, because, like, throughout the years at the moment, they're just adding more safety and safety and safety. So when they first put in the halo to kind of, like, improve safety, and, yeah.
For good reason.
Yeah, for good reasons. And now the changing of the cars and how they've moved it around and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at the halo, the first race it was implemented in, it saved Charles Leclerc's life when he was in the, was it the AlphaTauri or something? Yeah, saved his life, so, you know.
Car went over the top of him, right?
Yeah, it was in very big.
Yeah, at least, I mean, thank God they put that in, because, I mean, there was also a lot of people saying it looks disgusting and is like, it's not something they want to see in a car. And except it turned out as one of the best things they could have put into a car.
Yeah, moving on to the most recent weekend, Netherlands, Max Verstappen's home Grand Prix. Must have been a lot of pressure for such a young driver going into his home Grand Prix like that. But he showed his class. Yeah. Too easy, almost. Over 20-second lead by the end. Absolutely incredible race from Sergio Perez, showing his class and showing why he deserves that second Red Bull seat.
Yeah.
Going from 20th to 8th, that's an extremely impressive achievement.
I love the crowd there as well, all the oranges.
Yeah, the support phenomenal. They show for Max Verstappen is just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's his home crowd, and isn't it like the first time like a Dutch guy has won the Netherlands Grand Prix in quite a while or something?
No, Max won it last year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Last year wasn't Max, I don't think.
Yeah, it was, but let's move on.
Moving on.
Good result for Pierre Gasly. Strong race, highest qualifying position. I think there's a slight feud in Mercedes. You know, Bottas, he pits to go for this fastest lap, and is on an absolute flyer of a lap. And then the team tell him to slow down because Hamilton wants the point.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to that age-old discussion of team orders. I think they need to put some sort of ban or something on these, because you know, it shouldn't be about he's higher up in the championship, he should get this. It should be about who's the best driver.
They shouldn't be prioritizing drivers at all.
Yeah, exactly.
No favorites. It should just be if they want to pit, let them pit.
Exactly. And I mean, Hamilton did get the extra point for the fastest lap, but it just shows
how much he needs.
I can kind of understand that, because you might need to show that the top dog still with, you know, like Max Verstappen coming in, the underdog winning, you know. I think might need to. I mean, I do agree that there should start being favourites, but I mean, if they want to get Hamilton the win, they want to get Hamilton the win, and I don't think the F1 will think about changing that, honestly.
Yeah, but I mean, looking back over the season, let's have a look at the laps led. Verstappen, 403 laps led, and Lewis Hamilton only 128.
Yeah,
it just shows
the domination of Max this year. I mean, the reason he's not absolutely miles ahead is because he has crashed out quite a few times, or been crashed out quite a few times.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's just unfortunate. It's going to be a good title race, that's for sure.
Yeah,
going to be coming down to the end, I think. But yeah, hopefully they keep up this competition, because it makes it better for the fans.
Yeah.
Mercedes leading the Constructors' Championship now as well, 12 points ahead.
Yeah.
And then McLaren and Ferrari in the battle for third, with Red Bull isolated in second, really.
So. Yeah. It's going to be a good end of championship, and it's going to be exciting to see who's going to come away with the trophy.
Yeah, and I mean, the third and fourth battle will be even better, with McLaren and Ferrari so close right now. And then fifth place being a little bit further behind. But, you know, this battle between McLaren and Ferrari is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
All right, so should we move on to the football now?
It's been quite a few transfers here. I think this is going to be a good one.
So I want to ask one question first. Is this the best transfer window of all time, in you guys' opinions?
I think the two best players in the world have moved around, which they haven't Ronaldo hasn't, but Messi has stayed with his club, you know, since he first came into competitive football. So I think that is a huge transfer.
Yeah.
Massive,
not only because he's the best player in the world, but because he's been at that club for a long, long time.
Yeah, and there's been some like really major like veteran players who've been surprisingly being transferred, like Ramos.
I think Ramos was always going to happen, though. His contract was coming to an end and everything. But
it's still quite weird to see him in a different shirt. And because he's been like the Real Madrid captain since Casillas left. So it's just a bit of a weird feeling seeing him in a PSG shirt.
Same goes with Messi, to be fair.
Yeah.
I'm so used to seeing him in that Barcelona shirt.
Yeah. I mean, the PSG squad is going to look dangerous this next season.
Do you reckon they'll have the chemistry to put it off?
I reckon Neymar works with Mbappe and Messi.
He works well under Messi, MSN.
I'm just going to see how Mbappe reacts with Messi, because we've never seen that before.
I think the one youngster who's going to react well is going to be Greenwood, having Ronaldo there.
Yeah.
So, because Ronaldo, he's got such a great work ethic. He can train hard. He'll show the youngsters what to do. And Greenwood being a striker himself, it'll make him a dangerous player for the future. Yeah, he'll be up there with Mount and Foden now, I reckon, in that debate.
Yeah.
He was always in that debate, I reckon.
I don't think he was. Not really? Not to the same Mount. Level.
Yeah.
No. Not because they've been winning Prem's Champions Leagues.
And Mount did do a lot for the Champions League win. Like, he was an absolute star player in that. But I mean, I saw a stat somewhere that PSG have sold like 130 million in t-shirt sales after Messi joined. So that's just a crazy amount. And the amount of fans that Messi has is just...
He'll bring so much money to the club, so much attention. This is what Messi does. Same with Ronaldo.
Yeah. They're not just players. They're almost,
icons, really.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's also to think that they didn't go for a lot of money on transfer. Because Messi went for a free and Ronaldo was, what, 20 mil?
25.
That's still, an absolute bargain.
Still very costly, though, in terms of the contracts. Like, they're earning about 3 mil a year
That's a ridiculous amount.
So, yeah, Ronaldo as well, he has all the sponsorships and everything. He's just,
do you reckon he'll perform in the Premier League?
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for him, I think. 36 years old?
I don't know. That's
it's
going
to be very hard for him because Premier League is different to other leagues.
It's getting more physical.
It's a lot more physical, and he's a very fit player. He's a very fit person in general. But I don't know. We'll have to see until his first game.
Yeah.
I do think that as well. Like every year, you see these big players coming in, especially Arsenal signing Ben White. Going to get bullied, by like Ivan Toney and stuff. But I mean, should we move on to Arsenal in the mud, like shambles?
Yeah, you feel for their fans. I mean, it's just not been a good last few years, and it's been going down for a few years now, I think.
Yeah.
Can't blame the players. It's not the players. It's
you reckon it's Arteta?
It's the hierarchy. It's the Kroenkes and the Americans at the top, really. Yeah. They don't. They just see it as a business, as like a profit. They don't actually invest into it, though. So with no income in, we can't really do much with the squad. I mean
PSG makes money and look how much they spend, so they should maybe take a leaf out
of
that.
Yeah, but PSG, the owners, like, come on.
The owners do invest quite a lot.
They invest.
It's very close.
They still make money out of it, though.
Yeah.
So
it's because they bring in players with high revenues and
exactly.
a lot of attention. Arsenal, on the other hand,
bring in Ben White.
Some rubbish players. No one's heard about ever.
Yeah.
We focus on bringing in youth.
Yeah.
But then
your
that
youth
doesn't,
haven't been very good at the minute.
It doesn't generate any like attention towards the club because the youth aren't there at the minute. They have to reach their potential to be getting the attention and everything. So you don't really get much revenue from shirt sales and stuff.
Yeah. But, and that's what's exciting about Chelsea winning the Champions, because they've got a lot of youth in that team.
I mean,
winning the Champions League.
Lukaku coming in, he brings a lot as well.
Yeah, he brings quite a bit of attention. I haven't been too impressed with him so far, but hopefully.
It's just like, come on, he's only played a few games. Like.
I know. It will give him time to get better, but I mean,
he's not exactly Timo, is he?
I went to Chelsea Arsenal. I saw it live. Lukaku, oh my God, he bullied our defenders. He was throwing them around. He's massive.
Yeah, he's an absolute unit.
I mean, the Emirates was a library after he scored his goal.
Arsenal cheering for the other team.
Yeah. Pablo Mario's getting thrown around. It was a joke.
Yeah. Quite a big transfer, Grealish to City. 100 million. I think there was somewhere about Pep Guardiola spending 916 million since 2016.
Yeah.
And they've won two leagues, so like more even, isn't it?
And I mean, he said when he was slightly younger in his career, he said that I believe that it's better to like bring in players and develop them as a proper manager rather than spending a lot of money on players.
Yeah, I mean, Grealish,
he's in Man City. He's
Grealish
spend
is good.
All the
yeah, I know.
He's still young as well. He's not exactly old.
He's not 100 million worthy.
No, he's
pitched
not.
For Aston Villa. He's not had any European experience on the big stages. So I think realistically, that shouldn't mean a player should be 100 mil.
Yeah.
If you haven't even played in the Champions League,
exactly.
let alone even the Europa League, why should you be 100 million? You've only performed in the Prem.
And I'm talking about Champions League. The Champions League group stage has just been drawn.
Very exciting. Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on that?
Group A, Man City, PSG, Oil Money Derby. That'll be very good. And then I'd say Group B.
Group B is very strong.
That's the group of death.
Yeah. That is Porto, Milan, Liverpool and Atletico. That is going to be some good games for group games, I definitely think. And
there's going to be
some
very little points.
I think Liverpool might get knocked out.
Yeah.
In the group stages.
I reckon they'll come second.
They'll definitely third or second. I don't think they're definitely not going to top, but you know, we'll have to see.
Porto, I don't think they have enough strength.
Yeah,
I still think Liverpool on top against Atletico, who did win the La Liga, but
I mean they managed to get past the Barca. Well,
big news for Atletico though.
Yeah, I know.
Griezmann, he's back and he performs in Atletico.
That's true.
So if he plays,
Suarez and Griezmann.
Suarez, he's getting to that age now. His body's gonna start not being able to run the minutes. But Suarez is not in the shape Ronaldo's in. To be fair,
a bit of a large blue.
Yeah. And then you've got Yao Felix as well. He's young, exciting for Atletico.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of options up front.
Group C is a bit less strong. Ajax and Dortmund. So they should comfortably.
Dortmund should dominate.
Lots of youngsters.
Ajax and Dortmund should both, I'd say, comfortably qualify.
I mean, I reckon you should look at Sporting from Portugal. They're very good.
Yeah, they are a good side, but I don't know. How is Ajax doing recently?
Ajax.
Mid, right?
Yeah. What they really focus on Ajax is, I don't know if you guys have seen, but they bring players from their academy, De Jong and De Ligt, for example.
And then ship them off,
make all the money, and invest in the youth again. It's a really well-run club. But I don't know, Besiktas as well. They got, you know who Pjanic is?
Yeah,
he's gone on loan.
He's good.
Oh, he's quite old now, isn't he? Late 20s,
early 30s probably. Yeah.
Moving on to Group D, Real Madrid, Donetsk and Inter Milan, and Sheriff Tiraspol. Can't say I've heard of that team before, but never know. They might come out top.
I highly doubt that, if I'm being honest. I think Real's got started to rebuild their team. They got a couple good youngsters. And I think, especially with the addition of Alaba, who's more of like an attacking defender, I reckon they'll do quite well this year. They won't get too far, but at least they'll get out of the group stage.
I'd say quarters at least for Real.
Yeah.
They're still in that phase, like Vinicius on the wing. He's not got the end product.
Yeah.
Hazard not been performing.
Yeah.
I mean, look at him at Chelsea, look at him now, to be fair.
Yeah.
And another great group. Group D, Bayern Munich and Barcelona.
8-2.
Yeah, possibly again. I mean, Barcelona, in a good spot right now. They've had to give away a few players because they can't afford
the
wages.
And
so they're in not a good state right now. I think they're going to take either a few years to recover or maybe even a lot longer.
They're in such a mess.
I reckon that they won't take too long because, I mean, Barcelona's historically quite a big club. And even if they're like not doing well, people still want to play for them to kind of just have say like I play for Barcelona.
They can't afford to pay wages at the minute. They're in so much debt.
They're still good, mate. Like
I know, but they're like, in so much debt. They're gonna have to think about selling stuff now.
Listen, and that's what they're doing.
If they sold Griezmann before they sold Messi, Messi would still be playing for them right now. Because getting Griezmann's wages off the bill, he was earning so much. He's gone now.
Except then they wouldn't have been able to announce any other signings.
Yeah, but Messi's bigger than most signings, I'd say, for Barcelona.
Definitely. He's got a few more years of his absolute prime left in him.
Yeah.
And they should have just kept him for those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see Ansu Fati was given the number 10 shirt?
A lot of pressure on an 18-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that's right of them to give it away so quickly?
I think they would retire it.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
I think that player is such a legendary player for that club.
Yeah. Or at least wait for like till the next big thing comes to Barcelona and kind of give it to them.
I don't know. Out of respect, surely you have to retire that shirt because what he's done.
The club don't want to think that Messi was bigger than them, though. I think that's another main aspect.
That's showing that they're like weak without Messi.
I think it just shows that they're thankful for what he's done.
Obviously they are, but
I think retiring shirts is going out of fashion now, though.
Yeah.
Because after Birmingham retired Jude Bellingham's shirt after he only played like 16 games for them. I mean, it's kind of just not.
Yeah.
Gone.
Moving on to Group F though, Manchester United, Villarreal, Atlanta BC, BSC Young Boys
Young
as well.
Boys from Switzerland, yeah.
Quite a good league. I think that'll be some good games from probably not the highest teams out there, but definitely up there.
United are up there at the moment.
Yeah, so are Villarreal.
Yeah.
Villarreal just won the Europa League.
Atlanta, good.
Atlanta, like, they've got far like recently, and they've really performed in the past 2 years.
Young Boys, man.
Definitely a strong league, and hopefully some good games in that.
We've got a repeat of the Europa League final in that group as well. Yeah, between United and Villarreal.
That'll be a good game.
Maybe some revenge, hopefully.
Yeah.
Group G now. Sevilla, ooh. Red Bull Salzburg, Wolfsburg from Germany, and Lille from France. Not the strongest of groups, I reckon. Sevilla, probably favourites
yeah.
here.
Yeah,
but definitely. They're all about the same level, so that's going to be a decent match.
Yeah.
Lille are quite good, though. They've got a few decent players.
Yeah, yeah, but currently they're like 18th in Ligue 1 after 7 games. Not looking too good for them.
Yeah, but
and
I mean...
Wolfsburg, Bizarre can tell us a bit about them.
I mean, they have some good...
Yeah,
their
striker's
players.
Good. What's his name? Oh,
Weghorst. Weghorst,
yeah.
And then you have Baku in defence, who's actually a bit of a
very
unit.
Very good, yeah.
And
right Babu. And Babu, yeah. You have some good players, yeah. Except I just don't think they work together too well at the moment.
I think Castells is a big one
yeah.
for them. Keeps lots of clean sheets. He's
yeah.
a strong keeper.
I mean, they did well last year to get into the Champions League, so they must be doing something right.
Yeah.
Didn't Munich just steal one of Salzburg's players, the centre mid, Sabitzer?
That's
Leipzig.
From Leipzig.
That's Leipzig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be kind of like the Thiago kind of player.
That's a tradition for Bayern Munich, yeah. Stealing all the best players. The manager, mate. Like,
yeah.
Such a mess.
We really, like, completely robbed them off there. Except, I mean, we didn't take Marco Reus.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's going through injury and stuff like
that. He's very loyal, though, Reus. He's very loyal to Dortmund.
Yeah. To be fair, Lewandowski said that, too, before he left for Bayern.
That's true.
A amount of money, though, like...
Yeah, I mean, you
can't really turn that down, no. Exactly. And moving on to Group H, ooh. Juventus, Chelsea, possibly the favourites, I'd say.
I reckon it's going to be tight between Chelsea and Juve, because Juve have just lost Ronaldo.
Yeah, Juve is going to be not as strong as they were. They're definitely still up there, because they're a good team, but I think, I don't know, I think Chelsea can still do it
this year. They're in a rebuilding state right now, Juve.
Yeah, I think Chelsea... If Lukaku like really hits off with like Mount and Ziyech, I think that can be an incredible attack if they get it right.
Mm. Will Lukaku be able to break down Chiellini and Bonucci though?
Yeah, the classic duo. Just won the Euros. Like,
I mean,
top form.
He's done it before, obviously, in the Inter shirt.
Yeah, he definitely has, and I think he'll have some experience playing against him, which maybe he could translate to some of the other players. I think it'll definitely be a good game.
It'll be a very good game. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
personally trying to get tickets. but hopefully we'll see. And then Zenit and Malmo, the other two in this league.
We've got Sweden and then Zenit's from Russia, right?
I believe Zenit's from Russia, yeah. And Malmo is the Swedish champion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe quite. We'll see.
It's going to be quite an interesting Champions League this season.
Should we do predictions now? What's everyone saying?
I don't know. I'm biased. I think Bayern's going to win. But
I think Chelsea
seriously like,
will go for the Champions League over
said that last time,
the Premier League.
That's true. Except
like honestly, just
I reckon. I mean, Bayern have had a couple good additions to the squad who really will help out quite a bit. I mean, you had Upamecano just signed, Sabitzer. I mean, Lewandowski is just still one of the best strikers in the world.
I guess.
I mean, he's just broken Gerd Müller's record for most goals in the Bundesliga last season.
Yeah,
RIP Gerd Müller.
Yeah, also another sad story. I mean, what a legend for Bayern and Germany. Except I think PSG will get very far. I think United will get, semis or quarters.
I think United can do very well.
I think City are winning.
I don't know, they always seem to bottle. I think it'll be United. I think this is going to be United's year. I don't think they'll do well in the Prem. They'll get like third, fourth. But it allowed them.
Pretty good.
It allowed but United standards after getting Ronaldo. But then I think that'll give them time to focus on the Champions League, and I think they'll do really well. I reckon they could come away as winners.
Yeah,
it's very open this year, definitely after Chelsea.
I do want to see like year. Someone like Dortmund or something come through. Cause
they lost Sancho, and I think they're kind of relying off a pretty much a teenager in Haaland.
Yeah, but
Haaland is not any normal teenager, is he?
Yeah, no, except... Yeah, it's going to be interesting how he plays without Sancho.
He's an absolute monster. All right.
Anyway, so next one we're doing basketball. So
some big trades here.
Yeah, so some big trades over the summer. There's Russell Westbrook has gone to the Lakers. And they traded for Dinwiddie, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Kuzma, and Montrezl Harrell. So it's going to be quite interesting because Lakers kind of traded their whole bench. So it's going to be quite a one-dimensional team. But LeBron, also amazing player. They also signed Carmelo Anthony. And, I mean, LeBron is known for making players better.
Yeah.
So let's see how he can maximize their potential and stuff.
Yeah.
Next one, we also have Kevin Durant extended his contract with the Nets for another 4 years.
He's been around for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's still relatively young for basketball players, but it's going to be interesting because he's probably the star for the Nets. And then Chicago might be coming back to glory days after the Jordan era. They've signed Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, and Caruso. So, I mean, could be signs of rebuilding.
Did you see the USA won Olympics gold in the basketball?
Yeah, it was quite funny.
Durant was playing, wasn't he?
KD, yeah. I think he won finals MVP or something. Yeah. Except they all said that it's very difficult because the defense in Europe is a lot better because it's more physical and there's less fouls called.
Yeah.
Because in America, it's more like the fouls are quite light.
But I guess there's not much like money's producing like reffing the technology and stuff like that.
Doesn't get much attention in Europe.
I mean, it's quite big in Slovenia and Germany is quite big.
France is quite big. They won silver.
Greece. Yeah. Greece is very big there because of Giannis.
And Spain as well.
Spain, I've heard of that. I've seen Barcelona versus Real Madrid.
Schroeder as well.
Yeah.
They won bronze.
Yeah.
Real Madrid have a basketball team. I've seen that.
Today?
Yeah, they're actually quite good. So is Bayern basketball. They're also quite good.
Of course you'd say that, mate. Like.
Yeah, they're German champions.
Mm. So do you want to talk about the finals? Giannis wins his first ring.
Yeah.
And an amazing comeback from 2-0 down.
Yeah, I mean, now he can finally say there's like, he's a Hall of Fame player, I think. Because, I mean, he's a two-time most valuable player. He's an NBA champion, NBA Finals MVP. He's a five-time All-Star, Defensive Player of the Year, and many more. And it's difficult to forget. He's like, he's only 26.
He's averaging Hall of Fame numbers as well.
Yeah. I mean, he averaged in the finals 35 points, 13.2 rebounds, and 5 assists.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, that's like Michael Jordan numbers right there.
Wow.
And yeah. I mean, he's so young at 26 years old. And it's, yeah.
What are your predictions for the season then?
I'd say I don't think the Bucks are going to get as far this year. Because, I mean, especially there was a lot of injuries this year in the playoffs. And even though, I mean, they had an amazing performance, I still think they won't get as far. But I reckon finals will be, I want to say, Brooklyn versus Lakers.
Backing the Lakers then.
Yeah, because, I mean, they have a super team now. They have Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron, and Westbrook as a starting five.
Okay.
So it's difficult because then in Brooklyn you have KD, Kyrie, and then you have James Harden, all players who could have been like stars of their teams in their prime, and yeah, so it's going to be quite interesting.
I mean, I saw something about Westbrook and LeBron not getting along. Is this true?
I don't think so because they were just like as enemies before because they played for rival teams and so they couldn't really get along. Except I think now they're going to get along quite well. You saw them vibing at the Summer League right after the NBA draft, which is, Cade Cunningham drafted first. And I think he's going to be a player with the Pistons will rebuild around.
And Pistons,
then, yeah. And then Jalen Green going to Houston as a second pick, which is going to be helping Houston quite a bit.
Pistons have gone out that bad boy era now, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, they had Blake Griffin quite recently. He's been traded to the Nets. It's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do.
Okay, thank you for listening to the Outside the Box podcast. We'll be back next week featuring the England versus India test match. Thank you.